Sarah, this is Samuel L. Jackson. Now, you may know me from my roles in movies like Pulp Fiction, Star Wars, and The Incredibles. But I'm here today to make sure you go see a movie that holds a special place in my heart. That's right. I'm talking about Snakes on a Plane. I know that sounds crazy, but I don't give a damn, because Snakes on a Plane just might be the best motion picture ever made. It's that good. So listen up. On August 18th, forget about your regular job, working in the media, and stop wasting all your free time drinking bottle after bottle. And for God's sake, quit dyeing your hair all those colors. Just hop on that greasy bike, go get your friend, and go see Snakes on a Plane. The one summer blockbuster that will take a big nasty bite out of your butt. It's simple. Do as I say and you live. You don't want to mess with me on this one, because I will come after you. You hear me?
Did you hear there's that version of the Bible coming out in which Sam Jackson plays God? I know that sounds like a setup to a joke, but it's not. They're going to be doing one of those either, like the book on tape or whatever, where you can listen to the holy word of Jesus while you're in traffic. They're going to be doing a spoken word King James Bible in which Sam Jackson, I swear to God, so to speak, is the Lord, which is genius. I'll buy it just for that. Just so myself and every other hack radio program on earth can excerpt those segments out. And play them on the air. That's fantastic. All right. 2 minutes and 3 seconds after the hour of noon in this, the month of August, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. Ladies and gentlemen, we are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. The Rick Emerson radio programmer here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming by. You want to be part of today's program, and I know you do. Or as that woman standing behind Rita Moreno says in the rooftop America scene of West Side Story, I know you do. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. It is National Snakes on a Plane Day, kids. We are now 10 hours away from the greatest motion picture event of all time. It's coming up tonight, 10 p.m. Century 16 Eastport. We're going to be there along with our good friends Court and Fatboy from KUFO. We have tickets, or ticks, as they say in the promotions department, to give away later on today. I think every single hour. In fact, yesterday, if I do remember correctly, I empowered Scotty J to come in physically, if necessary, to come in Carol style and just walk in the studio and force me to give away tickets. So we're going to do them every hour. I'm going to try not to shove everything into the 2 o'clock hour, as I sometimes do. That is coming up today. Snakes on a Plane, and so forth. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Many, many exciting things for you today. Without further ado, let me now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show the official stenographer of our radio program.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Mailman Chris joining us now on the show. Hey, man, how you doing?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
Sir, are you ready for Snakes on a Plane?
I am.
All right. Fantastic. That is the correct answer. All right. We are, where are we at push-up-wise today?
48.
That's not so bad, all things being equal. And I believe we decided yesterday. Now, I can't swear to this because it's all a bit fuzzy. Yesterday was a little overwhelming because I was clouded with Dave Navarro hating black rage all day. People accused us of operating yesterday through storm-colored glasses. It really wasn't that. It was that my vision was clouded by all the gelatinous bile that I feel rising up out of my lower self.
They were very kind to her last night.
Oh, yeah, they weren't very kind to her. They were backpedaling is what they were doing last night. Last night it was a whole lot of Michigan J. Frog style tap dancing. And a lot of, well, Storm, I didn't mean to. I'm sure you're a great performer and all, and I know you can take the criticism, totally just tap dancing back and forth.
And she can, because she is a pro.
Man, but you know the great thing about Storm, and I know that And you can save it if you... we're dwelling too much in this. You know what? It's all going to be over one way or the other in like 5 weeks. Doesn't matter. Because by my estimation, there were only 6 episodes left as of this week. So now there are 5 left. So, you know, you think we talk too much about it. You know what? It's going to be over soon. So just see one way. It's like snakes on a plane. Big, huge buildup, and then one day it's all just going to be done. So you're just going to have to get used to that. You will have to acclimate yourself to the fact that the storm talk is probably only going to increase with every passing week. I mean, every week she stays on the show. And did you see that last night? As the night went on, the voting changed. And at one point, she was apparently in the bottom three, which I did not expect. I didn't see that coming because I will confess this now as a good Catholic. I knew who the bottom three was. There was somebody who had access to the East Coast feed, and they had sent it to us. I'm like, here's the bottom three. And she wasn't in the bottom three, the list that they sent us. And I'm like, well, that's fine. I can relax. And then Tim and I went to the 48-hour film project last night, which was a film festival. We'll talk about that here in a second. But anyway, so I got home, and I'm a little loopy today. For a couple reasons. We'll talk about that here in a second.
You have
as well.
Some good news.
I do have some good news.
You're trying to think of what that good news is.
What is that good news? The thing is, when you say, I have good news, I just hear it in Doyle Redlin's voice.
Oh.
I have good news for you today, friends.
Something that was lost has been found.
My sense of decency, my hope, my sense of optimism for a better tomorrow, my love of this industry. No, those are all still gone. Oh, yeah, that. Anyway, so I'm on the couch last night, though, and I didn't even get started watching it until almost midnight 30, as the kids say. But it's like, I'm like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 minutes in, and Brooke Burke is doing that stupid, like, I'm pointy and unattractive. And by the way, Storm was in the bottom three at some point. And it caught me by surprise. I was shocked. I was not expecting that. So I will talk more about it. Here's what we're going to get to today. Speaking of Rockstar Supernova, as we always do, Nate Morton, he's the house band drummer. He is the drummer for the... And because whatever anybody thinks about the show, the voters, the judges, the drama, whatever, the flavin', as they say in the morning, that house band is fantastic. And so today we're going to talk to Nate Morton. He is the drummer for the Rockstar Supernova house band. Because there's a whole lot of... I'm going to try to wheedle some information out of him. But there's a whole bunch of stuff that I want to know about that band and about the performers. For one thing, and I've had some emails already sort of preemptively asking questions, I don't understand how they managed to get all that rehearsal done. If they have to rehearse, let's say, 10 songs in a 5-day period along with elimination songs for every conceivable... I mean, you know what I mean? They're having to learn 20 songs a week, aren't they? At least. Because if every performer has a song, and then if every performer has an elimination song that they theoretically have to do, that band has to learn 20 songs a week.
They have to bring the rock.
They have to crush it. I'm just unclear.
Unless you're given a bad song selection like a Gloria Gaynor song.
And I have... Well... And don't get me started, because I have, after last night, I have further suspicions.
That's not a rock and roll song to begin with.
I have further skepticism about the veracity of that program. Anyway, so we're talking to the drummer from the Supernova house band today. We have Snakes on a Plane tickets we're going to be giving away. We'll do reverse High Concept today. High Concept in reverse. We will talk to local blogger Chris Sneven. Who is a good friend of ours and who has created a brand new website you're going to be all excited about. Plus, you know, you hear us so much, we talk about crazy DJs and zany DJs. We actually have a real, honest-to-goodness, crazy DJ story with appropriate audio. You know, you probably heard this. It's one of those things that I had never heard of at 5 p.m. last night, and then by 5:15, 85 people had sent it to me. By this morning, like 100 people had sent it to me, and it's just on and on. So you probably already heard it, but we'll play that later on. Some other things as well. We got the Ed McCarthy about the developments in this JonBenet Ramsey case. And Jim Roop has, what is it, Mel Gibson news?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and plus there's a rumor about another celebrity who's in rehab here in Oregon. In Newburgh, right? That's the place where what's his name, Robin Williams went?
Well, I think they offer 2-for-1.
We bring a friend. It's like an MCI friends and family thing, or the Mormon church. Okay. Wasn't that where Robin Williams went, was Newburgh?
Yep.
Okay, well, apparently, and this is just a rumor, by the way. This is ill-founded gossip and pointless speculation.
The best kind.
There's really no... There's no underpinning evidence for this of any kind. But we do have a rumor of another celebrity who is in rehab there. We'll talk about that coming up. Chris, do you have all of that, sir?
I do. I have Nate Morton, the drummer for the Rockstar House Band, Snakes on a MF and Plane ticket.
Yes.
I have to keep saying MF and so I don't say the wrong word.
So you don't do the swearing?
Yeah. Chris Steven, a local blogger, a crazy DJ story, Ed McCarthy, and Jim Roop.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, we'll check in with you at the end of today's program to find out what I have gotten to. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. And there you go. Preemptively, Kristen from accounting emails in. She says, please to be giving Nate my phone number to give to Raphael, the Supernova House Band guitar player. He should be mine. All right. There's so many things a woman can say that a man can't say without sounding like he's about to take off your skin. It's 503-733-2970. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and rosy, the Riveter-esque Sarah X. Dillon. How are you?
I'm doing well.
You got kind of a cool 50s sort of a thing going on today. Is it great, sort of?
I had to dress up by meeting with the ADA today.
You know, here's the weird thing about your look, and I mean this in a good way, is there's so few people who could dress up with, like, pink hair and really make it work. You know what I mean? And you know, in Portland, you see a lot of people who've done weird stuff to their hair where it's all pink or choppy or dyed or it's shaved on one side and it's sticking straight up and whatever. And they always just look like tools, and yet you somehow can pull off this conservative look while having hair that is like gem color. It's all very strange. I don't know a lot of people who could do that.
Thank you.
But you do have, kind of a 50s Levittown making a spiced ham, waiting for a hubby to get home from the factory kind of a look going on.
These are my dress-up clothes. I've got to impress the DA.
Your grown-up clothes?
Yep.
All right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories at the Ministry of Truth today.
One night in Bangkok, a teacher is arrested for the murder of JonBenet Ramsey.
Okay.
John Carr was living in a guest house in a neighborhood frequented by sex tourists. His visa has been revoked for being an undesirable person. And Britney Spears says baby number two is an accident.
Oh, by the way, and she melts full pound bars of Hershey's chocolate into the microwave and shoves it all down her face with potato chips. Yeah!
Sexy.
All right, so we'll get to all of that today, plus a whole bunch of other stuff as well, if/when we can sort of fit it in. You know what I realized? Here's the two reasons why I'm feeling a little loopy right now. A, I got to bed kind of late because Tim and I, we've talked about this. Tim and I were at a 48-hour film project, which is, it's kind of a cool thing, actually.
Yeah.
There's a 48-hour film project, and what it is they get a whole bunch of filmmakers, and you pull out of a hat a genre and a prop that you got to use or whatever. Anyway, it's little filmmaking teams, but you get 48 hours to write, direct, film, edit, basically to complete front to back, start from scratch, beginning to end, 48 hours to make a film.
And there are 36 teams here.
And there are 36 film teams. And they
How
give
long
you,
are the films?
Like 10 minutes.
Yep. Oh, cool.
And they give you 48 hours to make a film from scratch. And so Tim and I had the good fortune to be in a film. Our good friend Patrick Rochelle, along with Nate Baker, those guys made a film, which was really great, by the way. It was pretty damn fine, if I do say mm-hmm. so myself. So we were at the screening for that last night. There were some other really great films. That's at the Hollywood Theater.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we were at that, and then I went home, and then it was... You know, and Laura's gone, so it's like I'm taking care of the poodle single-handedly, and you go home.
That's
and it's
a lot of work.
It's a whole
while. Take care of a poodle by yourself.
Because you know what it is with the dog, and you guys know this, is that...
I'm a single parent, and I'm doing just fine with my dog.
Yeah, but you got Manuel there to take care of your dog. Your dog is in a small space all day, right? He's in your bedroom.
No, he hangs out in the house.
So he has the run of the house?
He does.
With my dog, because we got him at like 6 or whatever, so he's sort of ill-trained in many ways. He's just sort of trained us. That dog is like one of those little Jesus things at Christmas where you open the cardboard door and there's a little prize inside. Except the prize is, what has he destroyed or urinated on? And it's a whole lot of, like, going through the house going, I know it's here somewhere. And then you just feel the telltale squishing between your toes. Or you find something in the garbage that caught his fancy that he's decided to... It really is impressive when you think about it, actually, that he can find, like, one single small piece of trash and tear it into such fine little pieces that it can cover the entire house like a papery snowfall. So I go home and I do that, and then I got to watch the Supernova thing. And then all of that, and then there was some, there have been some technical issues at the radio station over the past little bit. So, you know, you wake up...
Nothing you would notice.
Unless you were listening.
No.
Unless you had ears and the radio was on. Anyway, but so then my Motorola Q, like my BlackBerry thing, that's going off like all night, all morning. It's just chaos. And so then I get it. And you know, the other reason that I'm feeling a little wacky today is because there is no visa. And look, I got to tell you, I am now 33 years of age. Eighth grade is what, about 11 years old? 12, something like that, if you're in 8th grade. That's about 11, right?
I don't even remember those years.
It's all kind of a blur to me, too. But, so 12, 13, something like that. So I have been drinking coffee now for 20 years. It has been two decades that
I... You drank coffee as a 13-year-old?
I did drink coffee. I started drinking coffee when I was in 8th grade. And it's a whole story that I can kind of tell
how
you later.
How did that
come
to be?
It's a long story that I will share later, perhaps if we've run out of wacky rock star anecdotes, and if we've run out of top fives to do someday, I'll tell you the whole story. But two decades, and it's like I got the coffee in front of me now. I still can't go through a day without it. But that Vizo, and this is not I guess it is a plug, but I'm just saying it's true. It's become an already indispensable part of my life. And we came in this morning and realized, to our horror and dismay, that we are now out of Vizo, the caffeinated kind, anyway, the Vizo Energy. Hello, folks. This is Rick Emerson. Let me talk to you about Vizo. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes.
I've realized now that Vizo, which you can find out more about at visobev.com. That is VISOBEV.com. Vizo. I've realized now that when I need a little perk me up, when I'm here trying to provide entertainment for the people and I need to get going in a way that no other beverage will help me do, Vizo Beverages, they provide that little boost of energy that I need in the morning to make everything okay again.
And Mel Gibson wrote about Vizo.
Anyway, so we've got no Vizo in the house today. So everything's just a little fuzzy and I feel as though I'm floating down a tunnel with a white light at the end. It's all very depressing. The good news today, though, and then I swear to God we'll get to the city desk here. I have good news for you today, friends. Not for you so much as it is for me, is they found my truck. So that's the good news, is that the man... As much as we slag on the man, even a stopped walk, clock is right twice a day.
When did it get stolen?
Even the government helps you occasionally. It got stolen on Thursday night, Friday morning. So that's what, about a week, which is about what it took last time. It took 4 days last time, I think. So I got a call while I was in a meeting this morning where the guy's, hello, here in Tigard. We have your truck. And so apparently the same thing.
There wasn't much gas in the tank.
Some tweaker stole it, drove it to Tigard, dumped it, and undoubtedly stole another, a car like a block away. So the good news is I get to go to Tigard today. Of course, Sarah can't give me a ride to Tigard.
It's
in Beaver. It's Hillsboro, is what he said.
Yeah.
Not Tigard, but Hillsboro. So my wife
is
out of town with the car. The truck is in Tigard. Sarah is gone. And then I realized that this is why people have friends. Because occasionally you're going to move or you're going to need to pick up your car from an impound lot. And you will need one of these so-called friends to help you.
And the sad thing is you actually said that out loud. Oh, I guess this is why people need friends.
Too late do I realize the error of me ways. So I have nothing. So Tim, actually, this is actually what we did. Tim volunteered because I think he could hear the sad tone of voice that I realized I had no friends. I had no one to call.
I know the feeling because I've abandoned, apartment fulls of furniture because there was nobody to help me move meager belongings.
There's no one to assist you.
That's what happened to me several times. Well, and then they take it out of your security deposit, and it's all because you have no friends.
Friends. I have no friends. Hunted. Despised. So I got nothing. So I'm in the office this morning lamenting the fact that I have no friends to take me to get my car. And so Tim finally just says, well, if you feel like taking the train out there, I suppose I could pick you up and take you to your truck. Just, I think because he grew tired and took pity on my belly aching about having no friends. So there you go. But so that's sort of a good news, bad news.
It's not that far from my house.
Thank you. So the good news is that my truck will be back in my possession soon. To be stolen again, no doubt, 6 months from now. The bad news is that it really does bring into stark relief the rather limited social circle that I travel in. And my poodle can't drive. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's now go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the Ministry of Truth. Tim Riley reporting. So we have authorities in Thailand saying the man arrested in connection with the murder of 6-year-old JonBenet Ramsey has admitted killing her. He's 41-year-old John Mark Kerr. He was arrested a day after he began teaching second grade in Bangkok. Now, what do we know about him?
Well, first, let's get to what he had to say about this.
Well, there's so much here that's interesting. By the way, Ed McCarthy is going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour from Atlanta, which is where I think the Ramses had relocated after this all happened. Did they move to Atlanta, Georgia?
Yeah.
First of all, just the idea that this guy could go get a job teaching second graders in Bangkok is just disturbing on so many levels. Because, I mean, this is because Bangkok, I mean, this is this is a thing that people...
Everybody remembers the song from the 80s.
People sort of joke about this in a sort of dark way, but, I mean, everybody knows Bangkok, Thailand, everybody knows that there are places that if you are a deviant of some hideous irredeemable pervert, I mean, it seems to be Vietnam is the ticket for you, friend. You know, go to Thailand, go to wherever. I mean, it's just that is obviously the child sex trade is a huge problem in those countries. So would you not think it was suspicious if, like, a big white man from America was suddenly like, and do you have any very young children that I could teach? Sure, come on over. Thank you very much.
He'd been living in a dormitory-style guest house called The Blooms in a neighborhood of massage parlors and travel agents that cater to expatriate residents and sex tourists.
Are these the youngest you have? I mean, it's all... Would not that ring all kinds of bells to you? Especially because, according to the Boulder County... whatever it is, the police or the DA or whatever, they said that this guy has been, quote, under an umbrella of suspicion for some time anyway. So, look, it's not like I necessarily looked to Thailand to set the moral code for my life. But what is going on in that country that a guy who is already under investigation for child molestation and child killing can get a job teaching children? I mean, you think that they have a lax attitude in America towards recidivism? Good God.
Well, 41-year-old John Carr says he loved the beauty queen and didn't mean to kill her.
Roll the creepiness.
Her death was an accident.
She fell down the stairs and became wrapped in duct tape and plastic. And
he refused to say how he knew the Ramsey family.
No comment.
He wouldn't say how he got into the family's basement.
No comment.
Okay.
He refused to say how long he knew JonBenet Ramsey.
No comment on that.
Why would you admit killing someone, but then admitting, like, saying how you got into the basement is just one step too far? Like, you...
cry for help.
Like, you will... I mean, not to be horrifying, but, I mean, you will admit to sexually assaulting... smothering and beating? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Smothering and beating a child, but you don't want to talk about breaking that window, because at that point, people start to get a little angry at you. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. Do we know... I mean, have the cops said it's the guy who did it, or have they just said it's a guy who confessed to it?
Well, he confessed, but there's more to this story.
All right.
Linwood, the Ramsey family's longtime attorney in Atlanta, said Carr had sent numerous emails in recent months making statements about the murder to a professor at the University of Colorado in Boulder.
Is he another one of those guys that they catch because he expresses a little too much interest and has a scrapbook somewhere?
Those emails were key to linking Carr with the slaying. When asked if authorities could tell whether Carr had first-hand knowledge of the murder or had just picked up information from news accounts, Wood said, this information about the murder has never been publicly disclosed. His ex-wife, Laura, is quoted by KGO that she was with her former husband in Alabama at the time of JonBenet's killing, and she does not believe he was involved. Laura Carr lived with her husband in Northern California. She said her ex-husband spent a lot of time studying the cases of Ramsey and Polly Klaas, who was abducted from her California home and slain in 1993. Let's see here. As Carr was escorted to his guest house in Thailand to pick up his belongings, he said, I am very sorry for what happened. It is very important for me that everyone knows I loved her very much. And her death was unintentional, and it was an accident.
All right. Is this...
let's see here.
Do we have that horrible quote? Because this is something... This story has changed. This is like that story, the woman with the Vaseline and the hammer or whatever on the plane the other day.
That was pretty bizarre, too.
We never got back to that. We should go back and finish that story at some point, because that was all kinds of weird. It was a woman with a big thing of Vaseline and a screwdriver and a note from Al-Qaeda saying hello or whatever and howdy, running up and down a plane.
All made up.
And then, like, the next thing we know, like, there was no how would you arrive at that combination of items accidentally in a news story, by the way? We're sorry about the Vaseline and the screwdriver and the note from Al-Qaeda. It was really just a baseball.
Carl, you want to come up with a story to make people know that they really need us?
Yes, exactly. But this JonBenet Ramsey or this guy, what's his name?
His name is, what's his name?
His name is something Carr. John Mark Carr.
Who's 41. A second grade teacher.
But it was one of those stories yesterday where it's like it was, the news was sort of coming out kind of in a very, like a flurry. It was, you know, fast and furious. Because first we had they've arrested a guy, then we had it was they arrested an American, then it was like this guy, and then it was just suspicion, then he confessed to it. But at one point yesterday on one of the news sites that I was going to, and it was somebody quasi-reputable. It was like MSNBC or, you know, one of the more reputable news sites. And they had some story where they were saying that this guy, it was some horrible quote from him about John Tenney and I were very much in love. It's just one of those, that's exactly the reaction. Sarah just had the shudder. It was that cringe-inducing sort of, you know, like someone needs to be taken out back and set on fire. You know, that's really kind of where you arrive with a guy like this. But you gotta wonder if he's a guy that's just, if he's just attention whoring it.
That's what I'm thinking.
But I mean, why would you?
Could be wrong.
But if he's just some attention whore, it just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that he would confess to it, but then not answer any of the other questions. But on the other hand, if he was just some guy who was fixated on serial killers or murders or whatever...
But they said he had information that was never released to the public.
And they found him because he was sending a bunch of emails back and forth? Is that the deal?
Yeah, to a professor at the University of Colorado at Boulder.
All right. Just the whole thing. I don't know if any of this works, but I mean, you know, whatever.
JonBenet's father, John Ramsey, says throughout the ordeal, people have treated his family well.
I have...
Oh, yeah.
Sure. I guess Fox never felt convicted other than by the media.
Everybody's treated the Ramses with the utmost respect. All right, that's what I think of. All right, well, I'll tell you what, let's take a break. When we come back, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy is going to talk about this. He is down there, has been covering this case since it started breaking yesterday. It's 503-733-2970. Later on, we have CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten, local blogger Chris Sneathan, and we'll have a high concept in reverse giveaway. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
I don't want to grow up. I don't even want to be that way.
It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. You can email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All right, coming up later on today, 1 o'clock, we're going to be talking to Nate Morton. He's the drummer for the Rockstar Supernova house band. 1:30, we got CNN. No, I'm sorry. 1:30, we have local blogger Chris Sneathan. Should I just say the name of the website now?
Yes.
We have local blogger Chris Sneathan, a friend of the Rick Emerson Show and all-around good guy who has created the exciting new website. Dave Navarro is a gigantic douche.com. There you go, kids. Check that out. 2 o'clock, we'll have CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, who's going to be joining us about Mel Gibson. By the way, we have another celebrity rumor, somebody in rehab in Newburgh. We'll talk about that here in just a few. 503-733-2970 plus snakes on an MF and plane tickets. Let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from the South, a good friend, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy of the CNN Center. How are you, sir?
Hey, a little better now. I'm headed to the airport. Not fun on this highway.
Now you are, because you are based, where are you, because you're typically based in Atlanta, but you are going where? Are they sending you on the road for this JonBenet Ramsey thing?
Yeah, I'm headed, I've got a flight to Boulder, in a few hours, and I figured I'd need all of these hours to get through security at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport.
Oh, I never even thought about that. And, of course, you guys being CNN, unbelievably, you guys probably don't get any special dispensation, do you?
No.
That seems wrong.
I get the word that I'm going today, and, they told me this morning, so I'm downtown. Then I have to drive home another 50 miles and then, grab the bags and head back down another 50 and back down to the airport now.
I know that you're part of the liberal media conspiracy, Ed McCarthy, but it does seem like the people at the airport. I include myself in that.
People have been gunning for you, you know?
It does seem like the power of CNN ought to open a few doors for you in terms of getting through that security a little faster.
Yeah, well, we'll find out when we get get down here.
I like the laugh when I suggest that CNN should be able to get you something with their clout, and you just sort of have a derisive snort in response. That's kind of like when people say, like, we'll have like a light bulb in, or something that's burned out in here, and we'll be complaining, and somebody say, now come on, can't you get that light bulb fixed right away? You're CBS, and we all just sort of chuckle and then go back to our business. So,
yeah, well, that's because they're union. See, they can't get it done that quick.
Dude, I know that pain. Well, let's talk about this creepy guy. So they arrested this guy, John Mark Carr, in Thailand. Now it's all very confusing, and I understand that as things shake out, we will find out what is fact, what is fiction, what is speculation, what is not. But he has confessed to killing her, but the weird thing was he confessed to killing her, but then they started asking him, like, well, how did you get in the house? And that's when he started kicking out the no comment, which is weird.
Yeah, it's all very strange, and a lot of people right now are asking the question, is this guy a serial confessor? That's what we're wondering right now, because, you know, that press conference today in Boulder was really a whole lot of nothing. I mean, they could not answer any questions, and all they could say is, well, we presume he's innocent, but, you know, they're dragging him on a plane from Thailand. We don't know when he's going to get to Boulder, but they must be bringing him back for some reason.
And now, is it true, does this guy have as they say, a rap sheet? Has this guy been convicted of stuff in the past?
Yeah, he did have a rap sheet. He was a teacher, and they caught him with kiddie porn, and he did some time, I think, on that one. And then he's, a second-grade teacher. And now he's in Thailand. He's made, numerous trips back and forth. Of course, we all know what Thailand has.
Absolutely.
It's, pretty big in the child sex slave trade. So,
I understand that Thailand has a sort of appallingly lax attitude towards some of these child sex crimes and so forth. Even by Thailand standards, it does seem a little insane that you would hire a guy who's been convicted of having child porn to be a second grade teacher. I mean, it's just off the charts. I don't know to what extent you can even speak about this, but how is it that we don't in some way crack down on Thailand about this? Since it does seem to be such a haven for so many Americans that go over there because they got some unholy fixation on small children.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty amazing. And, I thought it was amazing that when they arrest somebody, they're able to hold a press conference, pretty much talk to the reporters. That was kind of odd.
The really creepy thing, and I forget what the guy's title was. We were talking about this horrible quote that we heard yesterday, and he was the information chief or something. He was a guy in Thailand who was sort of speaking on behalf of the police department. And maybe this was a thing that was like lost in translation, or it was sort of if somebody got some verbiage wrong or whatever. But they were quoting some guy who was an official with the Thailand police department yesterday. And I swear to God, the guy said, in reference to this John Mark Carr freak, he said, well, they were very much in love. I mean, that was a guy at the time. I mean, that tells you all you need to know about that country right there, I think. So,
very, very insane situation. And, if this guy is the guy and they find out he really is, the Ramsey family will feel exonerated. I mean, now they feel happy that they actually have somebody that, they can, put in there instead of them, because they were always the focus. Bear with me here for a second.
Oh, sure, sure. Talking to CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, who's, I guess...
Unless they want to get hit by a Delta bus. Okay, we're okay.
As long as it as long as it happens on the air where we can milk it for every drop, Ed, that's what matters.
Thank you.
No, I'm trying to make a little lemonade out of lemons there.
you could be a witness for State Farm Insurance for me.
has this guy been on their radar for a while already, or is he like a recent discovery?
Yeah, he has. He's been on their radar for a while, and this college professor in Colorado, apparently he was doing a documentary, and this guy caught on to this thing. Now, this guy Carr also lived in Petaluma, California. Is that familiar? That's the Poly Class case.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right.
So he was there. So, there are people now who are asking, does this guy have a fascination with these types of stories? And is that what we're looking at right now?
I think I'm busy being creeped out by the fact that he looks so much like Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah.
You take a good long look at that guy, and then you picture him in a hallway somewhere going, I'm a Patsy! He's totally Lee Harvey Oswald. He has exactly the same bearing. Guy's creepy as hell. Alright, well, Ed, I know you gotta, you're heading to the airport, you gotta get on a plane. I'm sure we will be talking to you about this as it kind of, unfolds. So, pack a sweater, my friend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks a lot, Rick.
There you go. Thank you, Ed McCarthy there. Being hit by a bus on one of our nation's fine highways, CNN radio correspondent. All right, here's Tim Riley at the city desk.
So let's get back to talking about the crazy lady who was running around the airplane with Vaseline screwdrivers, matches, and notes from Al-Qaeda. Well, apparently, this story was false, but the new story for today is even crazier. Her name is Catherine Mayo. She's 59 from Braintree, Vermont. According to the FBI, flight attendants noticed about 90 minutes into the flight, she began pushing against an aircraft bulkhead when the attendant told her to return to her seat.
I don't know what a bulkhead is. That's one of those that's like when you on a boat and they're talking about, well, the transom, and I don't really know what a transom is. I think a transom is like the ass of the boat, but I'm unclear about that.
A transom on a boat?
Isn't there a transom on a boat?
There's a transom usually above doors. It is a window above doors that opens.
Oh, like that's in your second grade classroom where you would have to, and they had to get that. Remember in your classroom they'd have to get that thing on a pole.
Yeah.
There was like and it was always in my classroom was like a special. When I was in school, if you were the golden child, mm-hmm. if you were like the teacher's pet, you got window opening duty, which is exciting
not
for some reason.
Not as good as bell ringing duty.
Here's what we had in my school. We had, and for some reason that I can't really remember now. It was exciting, and I don't know why that is. Like, if you were the kid in the class that got to open the window, Sarah, did you have those windows that were above, like, the really high ceiling windows, and there was the window pole that you had to use to open them?
No.
We had these. There were the regular windows, like the sort of, the plate glass windows, and then there were these tiny windows that sort of ran the perimeter, like the circumference of the classroom, up by the ceiling. And they had little special latches, and you had to have a long thing that looked like, it looked like, it was like a thing you clean the swimming pool with, but instead of a net on the end of it, it had like a little hook, and that's how you opened the windows. Mm-hmm. And if you were the teacher's pet, you got to open the windows. Mm-hmm. And at some point when you're a kid, they trick you, it's a total Tom Sawyer whitewashing the fence thing. They trick you into thinking that work is somehow exciting and makes you special and different and unique, and so you like clamor to do it. Because we had the following tasks. We had, I realize I'm getting off point, but I will work my way back. Mm-hmm. We had the window opening duty. You have bell ringing duty?
Yes.
Did you actually have a bell that had the long rope and it was like, was it like a cathedral bell?
No, it was huge doorbell buttons from the 1890s. And you rang a separate bell for every classroom. There were six of them.
To do what? To signal what? Like the end of school?
Recess, or the end of recess, or the end of school?
Recess?
Yeah. Should it be recess?
Yes. That's what that guy...
Is that what you called it on the East Coast? Recess?
Yes.
Recess sounds like some sort of a... I don't know. Recess sounds like some sort of a contempt that you would have. I hold you in recess, sir.
Well, anyway, I pushed the button for a break from schoolwork.
Fantastic. I'm sorry. I'm just all fixated on recess now. Isn't that guy in the Phil Hendry show used to talk about, well, we were having
what
cess.
What Phil Hendry show?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're sorry. We were having cess, Phil. And then we had a huge mailbox that they would and there was like twice a year you would have to paint the mailbox, and that was the most coveted duty for some reason.
Yes.
I don't know why, but it's like the cruel Kennewick summers would just strip the paint right off of there, the heat and the dust winds and so forth, and we'd like twice a year, every 6 months, you'd see kids out there with buckets of paint painting the mailbox.
How did we get this far?
I have no idea.
We started off with a woman on the airplane.
Well, you were talking about a transom, and I was saying I don't know what a transom is, nor a bulkhead. Here's the extent of my transom knowledge.
Okay. You said transom. Tim didn't say transom.
I did not say transom. It was not a word in this article.
It's just something that you randomly picked out of a sentence to talk about for 10 minutes.
This is the worst show ever. Transom, here's the extent of my transom knowledge, is in Jaws. When they've tied the cleats off to the shark, and Quint says something like, he'll pull out the transom! And that's it. I don't even really know what it means. He could just be making stuff up. Nor do I know what a bulkhead is. Is this someone who knows?
Knows what?
I'm looking at the phones here.
Oh.
Is this Dennis Pitzenberger or another Dennis?
Another Dennis. Excuse me, it's Pitzenbergers.
Okay. Hello, Dennis. How are you?
On an outboard boat. It's the part that the motor mounts on the back.
It is like the ass of the boat.
is an interior wall on a boat.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Or on a plane.
What? And so that's a bulkhead or a transom?
They're different things.
I understand
that. A bulkhead is an interior wall.
Okay.
The transom is the stern of the boat where the, your outboard motor clamps to.
Okay.
It's that plate.
Okay. Do you say recess or recess?
I say you're nuts.
Okay, thank you. All right, there you go.
Okay.
Thank you. Regrettably, we're not going to be all right. There you go. Thanks.
Was there only one call about that?
Yes. There's no, how many people are going to call about transoms? And, all right. Oh, no, Scotty's telling me there were more, but that's the only one he opted today. That was the cream. That call was really the preeminent transom call right there. Mm-hmm. He screened them out and chose the best of all the transom calls, and that's what we just heard, sadly. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, back at the story.
Meanwhile, miles away at our original point, which is now floating away like a buoy in the distance.
Mayo asked the flight attendant, "Is this flight training for United Flight 93?" The flight attendant didn't know she made a mistake because the flight was actually Flight 923, or if she was referring to Flight 93.
Okay.
At the time, she was biting her fingers, rubbing her feet in a constant state of movement. She appeared to be agitated.
Biting her fingers and rubbing her feet.
Mm-hmm. About 35 minutes later, she tried to go to the bathroom. The flight attendant directed her to a lavatory. Instead, she pulled down her pants and urinated on the floor.
What?
Totally missing from the original story. She pulled down her pants and urinated on the floor.
How would you leave that out of the...
This was not in the original
story.
Let's
take this one step at a time.
Carl Rove has been very busy the past 48 hours.
There's a thousand monkeys in a room somewhere.
Never let them forget they need us.
I want it on the blacklist. I never want to hear it again. Okay, but the original story.
Yes.
So bizarre.
This has no mention of Vaseline in it. So maybe she used it in a moment of privacy.
Did you really just say that?
I did. I can't believe it came out of my mouth, and it's too late to put it back
and
in.
And now we can't dump it. Thank you. Maybe.
I mean, Sarah Dillon is looking for Viso, and we're just stuck with the comments made.
Wait, maybe she used it in a moment of privacy. The best part is I can't even really imagine what that use would be, presuming she was by herself.
Well, this is pretty much a crazy flight. Wouldn't you agree? After everything that's come out of it so far.
Is this a woman? Has she dropped off an air check, by the way, looking for a job by any chance? Is that?
Oh, don't encourage her. I can just see somebody dropping their knickers in the reception area, dropping off a tent. Never mind.
Using Vaseline in the reception area. Okay, but in case you have just joined us.
Following the point of urination.
No,
she
stop.
Was ordered restrained.
No, just hold on.
Okay.
Let's all stop. If you joined us yesterday.
We're only halfway through this. This is today's story. Tomorrow there might be something totally different on this flight.
Tomorrow she will have turned into a huge black man somehow. And she will have been, I don't know, on a unicycle.
A dead carcass found in Maine.
Yes, on a unicycle juggling fire. Here's the thing. Yesterday there was a story about a woman who went crazy on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
Not with snakes, but she went crazy on a plane with Vaseline, a screwdriver,
mm-hmm.
and a note from Al-Qaeda.
Two notes from Al-Qaeda.
Okay, today... The same story and the same woman.
Mm-hmm.
No Vaseline, no screwdriver.
That we found.
No note from Al-Qaeda. She's pulling up her pants.
Pulling them down.
Pulling down her pants.
And urinating on the floor.
And whizzing on the floor.
At that point,
how can both of these stories be true? Which one is made up and why? There's no logic or sense to this at all.
I like this one better.
Is this like a choose your own adventure or something? If you would like to whiz on the floor, turn to page 26. If you would like to use Vaseline in a moment of privacy, turn to page 42.
Well, at this point, the captain ordered her restrained. Then, male passengers helped the flight attendant tackle Miss Mayo and restrain her in plastic cuffs. She remained seated in the galley area of the plane. It doesn't mention if they pulled her knickers back up.
Okay.
Governor Mitt Romney said the woman was claustrophobic and became so upset she had to be restrained. She was in a frenzy. She then pulled her trousers and knickers down and squatted on the floor.
Oh, squat is such a bad word.
Anthony Nash of San Diego said he became nervous watching the muttering woman sitting next to him as she paced and made too many trips to the bathroom. So apparently she did go to the bathroom.
And yet she was still able to go on the floor.
But the pilot...
Does she have like an extra, like a reserve, like a hump?
Well, what's troubling about this is...
A backup tank?
The pilot never made announcements while this was going on.
Sort of like just distract them by claiming you're flying over something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
If you look out the right side window, please, right now, keep looking out the right side. You'll see Hoover Dam.
She okay. also made references to being with people associated with two words. She stated that she could not say what the two words were because the last time she did, she was kicked off a flight in the United Arab Emirates.
Okay, we have to stop. This is the weirdest story, and we've actually gone so far into it that I don't even know where we are anymore.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a recess.
Wait, hold on. Let's ask David about this. David,
yes.
You're calling about recess.
Yeah, I once had a suggestion that you folks needed to have a thermometer in your studio.
A thermometer?
So that you would know what the temperature was when you talk about how hot it is. Now I have a suggestion about having a dictionary, because then you could look up the pronunciation of words. I thought I knew that recess was correct. And what usually happens is when I look it up, I realize there's an alternate pronunciation, and both recess and recess are both acceptable pronunciations.
But there's one that's listed first, though, and I would guarantee you that is recess.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if that's... I think that's... There's no indication in my little dictionary that is the preferred one, but I think you're right. It might be. Just as yesterday, I thought that you were wrong on fort and forte.
Okay, no, I am not wrong about that.
I looked it up, and it does say...
No,
that.
Don't tell me they're both acceptable, because that's wrong.
It does say that forte is... Well, it isn't necessarily acceptable, but it has... In some places in the country, it is used.
You know what? In some places in the country, they say ain't gonna done do nothing, too. But
there's some places in the country they say axe.
Yeah, there's a name for those people. They're idiots.
But you used the word.
What?
You used the word. Because you're using it...
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. No, it's too bad. That's unfortunate. Okay.
Let's break, because we have the guy at Reddit 1.
Here's what's coming up.
Vaseline, screwdrivers, matches, notes to Al-Qaeda, and squatting.
Scotty just... You had to put in squatting at the end.
I'm trying to update the story as I go along here.
Can you think of any usage of the word squatting that's not hideous?
Really,
any context to which that word doesn't make you cringe. Scotty just typed to me on the screen, for no reason, "I ain't bedding with a man." I don't believe anybody asked him about that. That seems a strange thing to volunteer.
Maybe it's about his brother and the chaps again.
Why would his brother even own chaps?
Not to mention, not one set of chaps in a vest, but two.
Maybe there was a sale. 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up. Nate Morton, from the Rockstar Supernova House Band. Later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Later on, Oregon blogger Chris Neathen. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there.